Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello everyone, welcome to the new look Ask Rob and Rob. Well, certainly a new look Property Hub. There's so much going on. And I hope since our big announcement last Thursday, you've been enjoying all the new resources that we're putting out. And there's more to come. And this is a resource we are absolutely committed to because we know you love the format. So let's get straight into that format and answer two of your brilliant questions that we have in this week. Rob, before we do that, have we got a new super duper system for getting the questions in since the rebrand?
Well, no, you can't psychically beam your questions to us just yet. You can't even text them to us because we want to hear your voices on the podcast. So it remains the same. Just give us a call, 013 808 0035. That's 013 808 0035. That number has not changed. Or you can go to propertyhub.net. That has changed slightly. propertyhub.net/ask and send us your question there instead. However you do it, keep those questions coming in because we love answering them. So let's get to it. Here's our first question today. This one's from Pat.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Pat from Cornwall here. Question for you. I'm 65, newly retired. My wife and I own our own house in Cornwall and two investment properties in the centre of Plymouth, all free and clear. Our house valued about 300. Property A was purchased about 2 years ago and gives a yield of 7.1 gross and 5.2 net. Property B gives an 8.7 gross and a 6.5 net. The lets are primarily for cash flow, as I don't think there's much to be had of by way of capital appreciation. I get the impression that local prices are static over the last decade once you factor out inflation. Both lets are fully managed by a company that I trust. My aim here is to be seen as a good landlord by any tenant with any issues dealt with rapidly. Both rents are on the low side of average to encourage long lets and to avoid costly voids, and the strategy seems to have worked so far. Both lets are in relatively new purpose-built blocks that generate few issues, but at the cost of service charges. I know that I paid the lowest amounts for both units when compared with other purchase price of identical units. Our income from occupation, the state pension is about 39.5. Other income is generated, P2P ISA of 42K, generating about 7.5%. As much of this is loaned for property investments developer, I regard it in a similar to like for lets and development, but it's a return. My question is in two parts. I'd like to increase the cash flow from these investments to feed our sailing habit, as we don't need the rental income to live on. Do you consider it better to put the cash-generated rents into the peer-to-peer ISA or to purchase the third or fourth property? As we're presently not geared at all, I'm loath to go into a heavily geared leverage position at our age. Life, but we'd be happy with some gearing. Please keep up the good pedagogical practice. That's educational work to you and me. Thanks, Pat.
Pat, thank you very much for the question. Really appreciate you sending it in. You ask at an opportune time because we're going to be talking about leverage on the podcast. It's such an important topic that we're going to go back to basics and cover leverage from the ground up. Really talk about the principles behind it and what the pros and cons of leverage are. So it's going to be really helpful for you to listen to that episode because it's natural that you'll have lots of fears and concerns and thoughts about leverage and whether it's right for you at this stage in your life. And by going back to basics, that'll probably help to clear up some of that uncertainty in your head. But this would not be a strong episode of Ask Rob and Rob if I just directed you to the podcast next week. So let's have a go at answering your specific question as well. So at the moment, across your two unencumbered properties, it sounds like you're averaging out at about a 6% net yield, which is very good. And the alternative you're talking about is the peer-to-peer ISA, where let's assume you're probably going to end up getting around about the same in terms of returns. So unleveraged property versus peer-to-peer ISA versus probably stock market returns over the long term, all going to be round about the same. Very different characteristics, but in terms of long-term returns, probably about the same. Now that, of course, is forgetting one big benefit of property specifically, which is the capital growth aspect. Now you've said that you're not expecting much on the properties that you own already. And maybe that's something you'd like to address, or maybe it's not. You seem very focused on the income, but if you did go and buy another property that was geared towards growth, then that could be a nice little bonus. But that's just one benefit. The other benefit of leverage, of course, is as well as magnifying your capital growth, it also allows you to increase your returns. So depending on the type of property that you buy and the mortgage rate that you get and all manner of other things, you could probably use mortgages to get your income up a fair bit, whether that's by just using your savings and the rent that you're accumulating to use as a deposit, then use a mortgage to buy the next property, or whether you want to take out mortgages on the two unencumbered properties you've already got and use that as capital to go and buy more. The option is there, And it's great to have that option. But of course, however sensible you are and however safe you are naturally going to be a little bit more nervous if you've got some debt compared to if you don't. So Rob, I think the big question for Pat to answer is, does he need to?
That's right, because in your clip, Pat, you talked about you'd like to increase your cash flow, but you don't actually need rental income to live on. So why are you doing this? You may have another noble cause that you want to help out or pursue or get funds for, and that's fantastic, and we can leave it there if you're very clear on your reason for doing it. But if you haven't got a reason for doing it, and it may be because you're a bit bored, there may be other things that you want to do or take up. If you want to stick in property, you could help mentor other people because you've done fantastic. You've made some great decisions and you're in a financially secure position. Many of our listeners would love to be in your position. So maybe you can help other people out. The amount of emails and messages Rob and I get about can you recommend good mentors and mentorship is vast. Most mentors are free and out there, they may not just be labelling themselves as mentors. So if you're doing this for your love of property, maybe consider a different way of getting involved. Or if it's just, you don't mind property, but it's something to do, then I don't know, kite surfing, surfing, you're in a lovely part of the world, maybe take something else up. Make sure you have a very specific and justified reason for doing this. Because as much as we all love property, it can bring us challenges and unexpected challenges. And that's okay because it's worth it because we're going on a journey to hit a goal that's really important to us. But if you haven't got that goal, then is it worth it? So only you can answer that part, but I think it's worth throwing in as well. So next in, we have Natasha.
Hi, my name's Natasha. My question is, I am the landlord of a two-bed maisonette. I'm currently renting it out. It's a two-year rent, so it will end next year. I may extend it, but can I remortgage? I've been told by my bank that I can't until I move in. Take the rental flag off, and then I can consider remortgaging. Is that true? I look forward to hearing.
Great question, Natasha. And I'm sure there will be other people in similar positions or will find themselves in similar positions moving forward. So it looks like you've got a residential mortgage and it also seems that you've got consent to let. And consent to let is when you have a residential mortgage, you want to let your property out because you no longer live in it. So you contact your mortgage provider and you say, can you give me consent to let this property, please? It's actually quite common, although not that many people know about it. So if we assume that's the case, what are your options? Well, you could refinance right now if you wanted to get into a buy-to-let product. Now, that might be the simple answer for you and away you go, but there may be a reason you don't want to do that. And it's possible that your residential mortgage has a higher loan to value. So that means the amount of equity that needs to be left in the property is smaller than a buy-to-let would be. You can get residential mortgages at 95%, but buy-to-let is typically around 75%. And if you don't have that equity in there, you'd have to top up the funds, and that may be something that you can't or don't want to do. So, are there mortgage products out there that will allow you to refinance under your current circumstances? Well, I can absolutely tell you that Rob and I have no idea. And this is why mortgage brokers are so important. Rob and I could be considered to be mortgage experts. We know a lot about mortgages, but there are people who do this day in, day out for a living. And that is where you need to be getting your advice from. Go and speak to a mortgage advisor that really gets this. Now, not all mortgage advisors are created equal. Some will just operate in your local area. They'll just tick over residential mortgages, do the odd buy to let, say they'll be able to help because why wouldn't they? They want your business, but not really understand this. What you want is a mortgage broker that works with investors on a regular basis and does the majority of their work with investors because they will be the people who will dig in a bit deeper, find that solution and not give you the default answer of, sorry, computer says no. You want a mortgage broker that's going to make a few calls, do a bit more research and do their best to help you out. They do exist. You're just going to have to put a bit of time and effort into finding them. So Natasha, step one is start researching for a great mortgage advisor. You can go on our Property Hub forum and ask the question there. I believe this question's been asked like that in the past. So you can use the search bar to see what's come up. And if you're close to one of our meetups, go along to a meetup and ask other investors at the meetup and say, hey, do you know a good mortgage broker? Because you know what? People at the meetups are friendly and they like to help other people out. So Whatever you do, good luck, but start with an expert who knows what they're talking about. And that, unfortunately, is not Rob and I. But luckily, we do know what your next step is. So good luck, Natasha. I hope it works out for you.
So there you go. A lot has changed around here. But one thing that hasn't changed and will not change as long as you keep those questions coming in is that we will do our very best to give you answers to help you on your way every single week. And another thing that is absolutely not going to change is that the Property Podcast is coming out on Thursday and we've got another great Fundamentals February episode for you. So make sure you tune in for that one. Until then, have a great week and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.